Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Listen, just because you're a man of God or a woman of God does not mean you're not going to fail.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we'll study the 11th of the 12 marks of a difference-making believer. As we study James 5, verses 13 through 18, we'll learn about the importance of prayer and local church involvement.
This is us as a church and the local church involvement. He encourages us to pray. Let me give you what I see in the text, very simply, is three situations in which God answers prayer. First of all, understand that God answers prayer during the normal concerns of life. In other words, being in a place to realize that for people in everyday living, normally you're going to have challenges. In other words, prayer for the usual times of a church member. That's what he's talking about. Look at what he says in verse 13 when he makes the statement, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You see, the idea is there are times throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, that you know what? There are times that you're going to be afflicted. There are times that you're going to be happy. Times you're happy. Man, I'm singing psalms. Life is great, but life's not always great. And there are times that you are afflicted. So very simply, sometimes we don't feel like praying. But if there were ever a time that we need to pray, it's when we don't feel like it. We need to pray until we do feel like it. This is the response. If you've got that, then you can understand that James moves forward with now not just the prayer of the normal concerns of life, but he moves forward also with the prayer that God answers in healing sickness and even forgiving sins. He mentions it in verse 14. Look at your Bibles. He says in a question form, which James gives these short questions and short answers that leave very sharp points to make. They're very effective. When he says now verse 14, he says, now listen, are any of you sick among you? What do you do? This isn't just the prayer now of normal living. He says, listen, here's where God answers prayer in healing sickness. You see, that first prayer is prayer of individuals. This is a prayer that is for pastors and those in a local church involvement. The picture here is of saints not only praying for one another, but also using the means God supplied for their health. And evidently, in James' day, those leaders of the church, elders, pastors, bishops, all terms of the same office, were ones that would, when people were genuinely sick, it could be meaning that they were sick because they were sinning. And that's why they're sick. There are times that people get so sick that actually God takes them home because of that. That could be implied with this. Now, let me help you understand. Today, here we have, how does it apply to us? Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicines. And if you're sick, you need to take advantage of that. And our medicine has improved. And it has given us opportunities to take advantage of things we've learned over the years. Hey, take advantage of the medicine there. You got a doctor there. Take advantage of that. He starts with medicinal. And I do think, particularly metaphorically, maybe the elders' anointing of the week, defeated believers with oil, conveys the responsibility for us to stimulate, to encourage, to strengthen, to refresh those people. It may well be have been that the elders literally rubbed that oil on believers who had suffered physical injuries, and then they also prayed for them. The idea of verse 16, the person confesses his sins, and the three essential verbs when he says, notice, confess, when he says verse 16, and then the second verb, pray. Pray for one another. And then he says that you may be what? You may be healed physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. The confessing that James wrote about is done among the saints. He was not suggesting confessing our sins to a preacher or a pastor. You give that to Christ. We confess our sins, first of all, to the Lord, 1 John 1:9. Then we must also confess them to those who have been affected by them. We must end up confessing that sin to that person privately. And if that sin became more public, then I'm going to say it publicly. It's to the circle of offense. And what that does, as it did to the church at Corinth, it provided a purifying effect to realize, you know what? I can't live in disobedience. Is it possible, let me come back to again, to realize, wow, if I'm doing things that aren't right and I'm sinning against the Lord, I'm sinning against my brother, and I say, I want to get this right. It's automatic that not only I just want to get this right here, but there's a freedom to say, I want to be honest and transparent and let other people know, man, I need prayer. Now, if you understand all of this, in essence, this could be the church's healthcare system. How many people, if they knew, you know what, I'm living as best I know in obedience to God's word, how free they would be in their physical wherewithal. The freedom to not have their mind being constantly bombarded with stress and pressure because they're constantly having to lie and deceive to be able to get around the things that they've been doing. Emotionally, they're in a wad and tightened, and there's problems because they have issues underneath the surface they're trying to push down and hold off. And the reality is eventually it pops back up again. And you know what James is saying? He's finishing this whole letter by saying, listen, there's a great freedom when there's a willingness to know other people are praying. And God answers our prayer to heal sickness and to forgive sins. He offers that to you. Let me finish with number three. And very simply, this third point is really the illustration. This is the illustration of a prayer that God answers for a nation. And the illustration is Elijah. And Elijah is the man that was praying. In his circumstances, he was praying as a godly, ordinary individual. He was praying for a nation. This is the illustration when I can only imagine these people hearing all this thinking, you got to be kidding me. Only, therefore, the pastors, they're the ones that are the spiritual giants. They're the ones. Let's everybody go to them. And man, oh man, they can pray for everybody. And so James says, hold on a minute. Then he gives him, look at verse 17 and 18, with this we close. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Underline that. He's just like us. And then he uses the illustration that's mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 19. When he says, listen, he prayed that it would not rain. And it rained. It didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth its fruit. And because he prayed, the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Listen, you've been in a place to understand that Elijah was man just like us. He wasn't perfect. In fact, right after that victory on Mount Carmel, Elijah became afraid and discouraged and he ran away. Listen, just because you're a man of God or a woman of God does not mean you're not going to fail. A righteous man falls how many times? 7 times. Implying how many times did he get up? 6. It's not how many times you fail. It's how many times you get up. Listen, none of us are perfect. You're all going to fail. You're all going to sin. He says, listen, you are going to sin. And Elias is just like you and me as a common, ordinary person. And this infused great hope into these people to know, God, you have all the resources of creation. And if you choose not to answer the prayer, it is not because you're not hearing or just because, well, if I don't pray, things are going to happen as they happen. God says, listen, you pray. And his point is anyone with sin confessed can see answered prayer. As one author said wisely, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. And Robert Law, when he made this statement, was saying, you cannot separate the Word of God and prayer, for in His Word, He gives us the promises that we claim when we pray. Even as Elijah, God told him. Now, He's not verbally going to say this to you. His documentation is written down. This is how He's going to speak to you. So the more I spend time in this, the more I start getting His thoughts. And when I understand that, then I'm in a place to be able to see God do some pretty awesome things. And when that happens, then God is going to get the glory. Understand, the prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven. God, is this what you want? Then God, I believe this to be true. So the fact is that there are people that have been living with physical illness for years and years. Does that mean that they're still living in sin? Absolutely not. John 9 and John 10, talking about the blind man, where the disciples said, hey, listen, it must be blind because his sin or his parents' sin. Christ said, no, it's not. It's so that God would be glorified. A David Brainerd, who lived with tuberculosis for many years. Charles Spurgeon, who lived with gout and depression for many years. Amy Carmichael, the last almost 20 years of her life in falling and being crippled, was bedridden for years. Were they living in sin? Were they not doing right? Or was it that God was using all of this to be able to see God work miraculously? David Livingston, who was mauled by a lion, his arm was limp. Was it that God couldn't protect him, or that God allowed this to all happen? You have to understand, when you look at life from God's perspective, He gives you great encouragement to know that God will answer the prayer for a nation. Our nation needs prayer, as much as Israel did in the time of Elijah. Are you praying for your nation? Our great needs. The people that are older are the ones that get so discouraged when they see their country and who and all what we were. The reality is, you got to say, God, I have greater hope in you than hope in a government. You love your government, and you pray to God and support it and be in a place to realize, God, you will end up working all things together for good. You see, the amazing part about a local church is to realize we operate like no other organization, because we're disguised as an organization, but really an organism, a growing, living body. One author, Mark Minnick, said it this way, and I think it was a wise way of saying it. With this, I'll close. He said, quote, apart from the pastor or other staff, in our case, there's a few more staff, no one is remunerated for his services. In fact, each member is challenged to volunteer more and more of his energy, his time, his material resources, without thought of earthly reward. This means that in extreme circumstances, such as those created by persecution or impoverishment, a local church can actually flourish with next to nothing materially. It can meet and minister indefinitely in a home, in a cave, or even fields with nothing but God's sky overhead. In addition, every believer, no matter how unskilled, undeveloped, unlovely, is welcome with open arms. And once a member, each is regarded simply as another sister or brother in Christ. No one's family name, standing in society, educational achievements, occupation, or wealth lifts him above his brethren. The bank president exists at the same level as his tellers. The athlete, who is a household name, is simply brother so-and-so. And finally, each member, no matter how young or unskilled or newly come to the faith, can minister in some way within a local church. It'll actually contribute to the spiritual growth of older, more gifted members to humbly submit themselves to these less able brothers and sisters' sincere efforts to be a blessing. And so those that are hurting can even be a blessing to those that aren't hurting. For those that aren't hurting, it just might be the next day they might be hurting. What problem, what difficulty are you in? Are you afflicted? Are you happy because things are going well for you? Hey, you might have sickness, but it might be that God's using that to make sure, hey, is your life right? Yes, it is. There might be given occasions that you might need some help, and God will end up getting the glory. And I want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself today, whether there's physical issues, there's emotional, mental, spiritual challenges, James is saying, listen, for man that had camel knees, to be able to pray for one another.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.